So give me a mic check. Come on.
Mic check 1, 2.
Yeah. Give me a welcome to American Riddle.
Oh. Welcome to American Riddle.
Give me a sexy one.
That was already sexy.
Give me like a...
Welcome to American Riddle.
A little bit more. with a moan.
Oh, man. Give me a... You know, my mom wants to listen to this, and now it's like you're making me... I feel like I have to be more proper now since my family's going to listen.
Come on, just work it.
All right, welcome to American Riddle.
You can do it.
I can do it.
We're back.
That's Welcome. Right.
Game is on.
What's up, Malcolm?
Mariam Tazi in the house.
And Malcolm Riddle in the house.
That's what's up. So welcome, folks, to another episode of American Riddle. And before we get started, I just want to give some thanks to you, the listeners, for sharing this podcast with friends online. I've got a few people that's been tweeting and sharing it on Facebook.
Nice.
You know, when I do the post, so that's huge, actually, because there's no advertising for this game.
Right.
And the only way it's going to snowball is if someone tells someone, and someone tells someone else, and someone tells someone in Finland, and someone tells someone in Cameroon.
Kenya.
And yeah. So that's how we got to do it, people. We got to, tell someone and let them know about this program. Like I said, it's going to snowball. We're going to evolve. And we'll have different people on board and different episodes and all sorts of good stuff. So
exciting.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Other than that, let's get down to it. So, I'm pissed off.
Uh-oh.
Right off the bat.
What a surprise.
Yeah. I'm
What's
in
wrong?
A mood.
What's the matter?
Well, just the whole sales thing, like trying to be out there. And as many of you know who's tuned into the podcast know that, you know, whether I'm in retail or... Whether I'm in wine sales, it's a tough racket.
It is a very tough game.
Tough on many levels, just because of the stress of the holidays. If you're in sales where you're drawing 100% commission, it's even more pressure. It's not like I haven't been here before. You know what I mean? I'm talking more in reference to wine sales than retail. But, I got a little bit of pressure on my back, just from people around me as well. I mean, it's hard to take on a new product line and see immediate results. So that's what I have to keep telling myself. It takes, you're almost like a farmer. You're out there planting the seeds, but time isn't on your side.
Yeah.
So that's...
Now it's the holiday season, so it's like, it's crunch time.
And it doesn't help that I line myself up with a lot of fucking insane people with that just want to draw every last drop of blood from you. You know what I mean?
They want to get...
I have a bad tendency of surrounding myself with people who just want to take, and it's pushing me, people. I think I might snap at any moment, turn into the Hulk, you know?
You do look really, like, buff
Well,
today.
This is a fitted shirt.
Yeah, it's like you look like...
Yeah, this is American Apparel, so
yeah,
American Apparel
like,
shirts are a little bit more fitted.
Big.
This
you
is
look,
my...
You look
my,
pumped today.
My red wine bar.
It's a nice shirt.
Shirt from my buddy Brian Bolter, his wine bar in Annapolis.
Yeah, but you look...
So it's pretty fitted. Kind of shows
really,
off my my bumps.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But yeah, I'm trying to get a... you have to get what's called a solicitor's license in D.C. So I lost my driver's license like, I don't know when, maybe a month ago. Who knows where it's at? I've been going through pockets and towels and other pockets and places I've never even
passport?
Been under before. I got my passport.
You can use your passport. That's what I've been using once.
Yeah, but you still need a license, your driver's license.
I know, but apparently you can use your passport to drive around too, which I didn't know. I just kind of found out.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's
it
good
makes
enough.
It. But at some point, I'm going to need a license. So I had to go to DMV today. And, you know, DMV's always, it's always an adventure to be nice about it, you know. Because you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to a DMV, you have no idea who you're going to run into. far as the person's working behind the counter. You have no idea what they're going to do or what they're going to want. They always want
they're
something.
They're going to want?
They always, everyone wants something. I'm telling you, I'm at that limit where everyone wants something. So I went to DMV. Actually, I went to DMV. This was one where it was kind of back of the woods. All country people in there.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you've been to the DMVs where it's like walking into the UN. You know what I mean? It's like, or it's like walking into, you know, another country. It's hardcore. You've been there. Come on.
You know, I
don't
have.
Try
I try to
be PC.
Do as much as I can online for the DMV to avoid it because I hate going.
I had to go.
I hate waiting in line.
But I did get to take a new picture, so I had a new haircut at least. Because I think I was rocking a little bit of a fro on my last picture. Kind of made me look more rotund, more round. You know, just round. I look like I was from another place, that last picture. Very bizarre picture. I mean, I'm round enough, but the fro makes me look more round. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's round. There's nothing sharp or chiseled about my face. There's nothing, you know? No matter what I do, I accept that. And I move on. But I did have my jacket on. I popped my collars. So I was going to see if they were going to tell me to stop. Yeah, it was like the Fonz, you know. A leather jacket on. I had the collars popped like the 80s. You know what I mean? Not a lot of people pop collars these days.
No.
Hmm?
No.
They used to wear the polo shirts with the pop collars.
With like the pink shirts and the peach shirts.
Yeah, I've seen a couple older cats popping their collars. Yeah, but I popped it. Shit. Made me feel good for a moment in time.
I want to see that picture.
Yeah, they got to mail it to me. They gave me a piece of paper. I was all excited thinking I was going to get a new one. And no, they didn't. I have to mail it to me.
Yeah.
What else? yesterday I didn't have to. Kind of sounds bad when I say that, but I was with my son. I had to spend some time with my son. It's bad people, bad dad. So was hanging out with my son. We had which one is he in now? Basketball practice. God,
football's
so many.
Over,
it's,
right?
It's a lot of activities going on, people.
Well, football's over.
A lot of. I told you last time about the volunteering, and now.
Oh yeah, the bingo. The,
yeah, he told me. First thing he says, he goes, "Yeah, some kids." Yeah, some of my friends were like, "Was that your dad that yelled out bingo?" What the fuck? I was like, "Where? Right now?" He's like, "No, in school." I was like, "Really? They approached you?" Really? Yeah, a whole bunch of them did. It's terrible.
Oh.
My life. So.
That's funny, though.
We were hanging out. We went into Best Buy. And I was just walking around. You know, everybody comes up to you. They're very, you know, I don't feel like being bothered. I don't want to be one of those.
Do you need any help with that?
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those retail customers where I'm an ass.
Target, too, like six people in a row. I was like, nah, man. Like, I know where everything is. I've been to this Target many, many times.
Well, I told you, I've gotten it down to a science where I just put my hand up and just look down. That means I'm good.
Yeah, but I don't know if other people understand.
But I don't do the palm out. I don't do that because that's disrespectful. This is just a wall, a barrier. I'm good, thanks, and just keep it moving. And I keep the hand up as I'm walking because that's like for me that's like a shield. It's like a long barrier. So I just keep walking. I know what they're thinking because I work in retail. I'm probably like, look at this jerk, you know. But it's got to be.
What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah, I'm miserable, and it would take too much of your time for me to tell you what's wrong with me, lady. So, but I do appreciate you asking me, you know, is there anything I want? But I did run into, I'm talking fast, I ran into a gentleman. He was working in like the phones and stuff like that. So I walked over and I was looking at the Samsung products. Oh. Really nice, nice products. I'm looking for a point and click camera. Mm-hmm. And I think I talked to you about this yesterday.
Yep.
And I found this Samsung point and click camera. It like connects to the web. You can upload stuff. It can, you know, it does everything.
Right.
Beautiful screen. I mean, huge. As big as a phone. And so I'm talking to the guy and we're mixing it up and he's trying to show me all the features. He's like 72 and, you know, he's trying to push and make stuff work. And, you know, something about the elderly, when they push on something that's touch screen, they kind of do it forceful or they do it too light. You know, it's
or
not
right next to where it needs to be. They don't understand.
Yeah.
You're like, they're like, it doesn't work. Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. It's not. It doesn't like my fingers.
Yeah.
Doesn't
it doesn't
like it.
And they tend to miss.
Always.
And so I want to grab his fat finger and place it on there. But you know, it's we got it to work, and I showed him how to you know connect to my hotspot on my phone. I was like,
I like that you showed it. Yeah,
probably a great camera because I was trying to tell him. He's like, oh, with the phone, he's trying to sell me on the phone. And I was just like, yeah, no, beautiful phone. It is a remarkable phone. They have the Samsung phone with the watch.
Yeah,
wow. I put the watch on. It's kind of big. Kind of looks like something that Lando Calrissian had in Empire Strikes Back. I don't know if it's Star Wars reference. You may not get, but Lando had a watch like that. And the watch looks big and futuristic, but it doesn't feel heavy. I did like that. And you could take pictures. You could, like, aim it. You could do all sorts of stuff with this. You know what I mean? You could have it on while you're, like, you know,
laser
in the bedroom or something like that. Be, like, filming. Who would know? You know what I mean?
That's
POV,
creepy.
You know?
Creepy.
You know what that is, don't you, Mariam? POV, huh?
It could be a lot of things.
Point of view.
No, I'm nervous. I'm like, which one?
Yeah. Anyway, what am I? I'm getting off track here. But it's a ringing endorsement for Samsung to do a POV porn.
Oh, wow.
My point is, it's kind of making me feel better for some reason. It always comes back to porn with me.
A lot of times.
The camera itself, the whole reason I want a camera is because, A, lost my breath. A,
that's what porn.
That's the thing about headphones. You pick up everything, you know, and I'm not going to edit it out. So, all right, people, let me get my breath. A little excited over this product. So with this, with a, not just the product, but just with a point and click, I'm always in a position. I always find myself where you have to ask someone to take the picture. And I'm not going to take a picture. You know, you can flip your phone on your smartphone and take it yourself because to me that seems kind of weird, especially, you know, it just never gets the angle of the side I want. And, you know, I only got like one or two good sides as it is, you know. I'm not very photogenic. So what I want to do is what I used to do. I had a point and click camera and I had a little tripod that I would hook up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just set the timer, it would take the picture. Now, when you ask somebody, you're done. Because A, they probably have the shakes, all right?
It never works out.
It never works out.
Really,
like, my picture with Charlie Murphy is done.
Oh, yeah.
They put their fingers over the part.
But you would think that everyone would
every
know.
Every time they do like this with the phone, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie Murphy's head's cut off, the flash. I look like my head's the size of a pumpkin. You know, it's just horrible. Or worse, if they have the shakes, they take the picture and they're too far. They want to do the full body. Don't do my full body, okay? I got problems with my full body that I'm trying to work out. All right, so you know, just
lighting is also very important. I mean, you know,
and I can have all that set up. I already know I can get the tripod, set it up, and take the picture. I know it's going to work out well. And that's the whole point. But I mean, not really, but. I told this sales rep, he had to listen to this whole bit. Okay. Everything I just said right now, he had to listen. The whole time my son's sitting there rolling his eyes, just like, really? You're going to put this man through this torture? You know?
Oh.
Poor guy. And I'm just ranting about everything I just did. So I'm sure he had a fun experience. But it looks like a nice camera. Not cheap, though. It's like $500. Yeah. I forget what model it is. I think I took a picture of it. Mm. But I can't get... Every time I try to take a picture when I'm at an event or someplace, or if I, you know, it could be anything. I might want to take a picture with my son and, you know, I know they're going to ruin the picture. I know they don't know how to take a picture or get the right angle, or are they going to get down and do it from, you know, a different vantage point, like get low, get on their knees. I'm creative like that. So that's what I'm looking for. But I don't have the time or the patience to explain that to some mom at the football game to get down on her knees because she's going to look at me like I'm nuts. You know? Could you imagine? What's wrong with this turkey?
You're like, I'm over this. Like,
yeah. I just want to take the picture, guy. What's your problem, guy? That's what they call you, guy. Oh. Speaking of pictures, why is it when I see women, maybe you can clear this up for me. Whenever I see women, why do they crouch when they take pictures? What is that?
Try to be creative and take it from a different angle.
No, but whenever they're standing next to someone, even if they're short or
when they're being taken in picture?
Yeah, they're like
this. So I always see women do this. I could show you. I could pull
up
online.
Angle.
They don't stand erect.
No.
They always like to.
Yeah, it's okay. it's Darwin's in the house. Please chime in. Well, our guest, how do you pronounce his last name again?
Umanzor.
Umanzor.
They always like go to the side. Like,
yeah. Speak into the mic.
They always go to the like the side, like, oh, I'm so cute.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Innocent. That's fine too. And ladies and gentlemen, Darwin is our guest today. And he wasn't supposed to chime in just yet, but he couldn't help himself. He was over here squirming, you know, like a stuck pig, and he was just laughing at everything. I felt kind of good though because I was, you know, working on some material and seeing, and he seems to think it's funny. So I got two people, well, including my mom, three people that think I'm somewhat entertaining and funny. So
it's a village.
Yeah, it does. And with that village, we're gonna tell another village, right? And spread the gospel. That's what they say. But yes, back to the pictures. Maybe you two can clarify for me, you know, why do people crouch? You know, well, I mean, why not stand straight up? Like if everyone stands up.
They want
up,
their butt to stick out.
No. They're crouching to get down into the picture because they think that they're too tall. Well,
there could be that too.
Yeah, but why do it? Why doesn't everyone stand up? You know what I mean? Well, or
just have bad posture.
No. It's not that. Trust me. I'm gonna pull 5 or 6 pictures at some point. I'm not that fast to do it on the podcast, but at some point I'll show you some pictures. And all women do it. It's a weird dynamic. It bothers me, obviously, as you can tell.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, because I see it so much. And it's like if the picture, whoever's taking the picture should tell them, just like I should tell the person, you know, get it from a more creative vantage point or different, you know, point when you're taking the picture. And it makes a much nicer photo if you stand up. I mean, I see women in nice dresses and they look all done up for different events and everyone's crouching.
It's weird.
I'm surprised you haven't seen this. Have you seen this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. But it's just like I was saying, I feel like...
I mean, it's like the fish face when they push their lips out and stuff. That's very popular.
Duck face.
Duck face, yeah. Fish. Sorry. Yeah. If you listen to the podcast, you'll know that I get a lot of things wrong. So that's one of them. Add that to the pile. So
they go like this.
Yeah. Why do they do that? Why is that?
Because they want big lips.
Yeah.
I have no idea. You know what that is.
You know, Angelina Jolie happened.
I don't need to.
And then she's like.
So that's another thing.
I don't like pictures. So for me, it's like all of that stuff really.
Yeah. Any pictures I've seen you in, you're never like that. You're always standing straight up. Yeah, it's
I just feel awkward.
it is a weird thing that I see.
I guess they think they look good like that. Who knows?
The duck face and then the crouching. I see a lot of it.
Yeah. Weird.
The crouching is just something they do because they think they're too tall next to the person next to them.
Probably.
You know.
But they want to seem petite.
Don't get it. Don't like it. And that's why I need a point and click so I can arrange it and do it myself. And I don't have to worry. And I guess I'm going to have to tell people how to film and shoot things. Just be a jerk about it. Speaking of filming, I saw a film with the Mike Tyson Undisputed Truth recently.
I saw that too.
I finally watched the whole shebang. I've been watching it in pieces because I'm always on the go. And very well done. Very,
agreed,
very well done. It's a stand-up. I guess you could call it a stand-up.
The one-man show.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. I was going to say comedy special. There's some comedic elements, but it's a drama.
It's all also, it's a lot.
It is a one-man special about Mike Tyson's life.
Yep.
And he's the only man on stage. And this special on HBO right now that's showing was filmed by the director Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Very well done.
Agreed.
Very powerful.
Yes.
It's all for me, it was all stuff I knew. Like, I followed Mike Tyson's career and, you know, his ups, his downs from his beginnings in the 80s and, you know, his downfall in the 90s. So I knew everything, but it was, I found it entertaining and it provided great, you know, insight just hearing it from his mouth.
Right.
Especially when it came to the dramatic parts, like being knocked out by Buster Douglas and how he felt about that in Tokyo, Japan. I don't think I need to say Tokyo, Japan. I mean, it's Tokyo, right? It's not another. It's not like Tokyo, Virginia or you know, Tokyo, California, you know, Tokyo. I don't think I need to do both, do I?
No, but it's still.
There was a Paris, Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
And a Vienna, Virginia.
Yes.
Anywho, before I get off track, he was providing, you know, some insight on things, on how he felt, and some contrast. A, he got knocked out by Buster Douglas, but B, he knocked out Buster Douglas, and we all knew this when I saw the fight live. Mm. He knocked Buster Douglas out in the eighth round, and they let it slide. You know, there's a lot of things, a lot of foul play involved. Well, in a lot of sports, but you know, involved in boxing and it was nice to see him hear and see him acknowledge you know his mistakes, mm-hmm. from lawyers to aligning himself up with the wrong people like Don King and a lot of other people out there that used him.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that bothers me because. A, I feel like that. I don't liken myself to Iron Mike, but at the same time, I know what it feels like to be used, and that's where I'm at right now, my state of mind, where I'm older, and I think I'm a little too smart to sit back and just be quiet when I know A, I'm being used or worked in any position, like whether in retail, you're not getting paid a commission, or and you're selling all this product, and you don't see anything but a high fucking five, and then you go out and you're trying to hustle stuff for a commission, and you know, motherfuckers don't care. They just want to know, you know, how much you're selling, and they're just, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be in control of your own life, and that's what Mike was saying. Not to go off on my issues, but Mike also acknowledged his rape conviction, mm-hmm. and to this day. You know, he denies that he raped anyone. Yeah. So, go ahead.
I just want to say I also like the comedic side of him on this.
Animated.
He was really funny.
Animated.
He was very, you know, I mean, it was very touching. I went through a lot of different emotions watching this. I mean, I've seen a lot. I probably don't know as much about Mike Tyson as you do. But as a woman watching this, you know, I did have my issues with him, you know, but. I've always kind of like given him a chance, you know, and then getting it from his perspective too was very powerful, you know, and it was very true and it was very genuine. And you know, you could see him, like he was also nervous on stage at first, but it just really, it was very good overall, you know, from beginning to end. I think it was kind of an emotional roller coaster, but it just really turned out where I felt for him and I respect him, you know, like I think it's really good for his image that he's doing this too. I think it's really going
to
help him.
Yeah. I'm glad to see that he's making an effort to become or align himself with quote unquote mainstream America and to use his talents outside of brutality.
Yeah.
You know, George Foreman did the same thing it's a little bit before your time, but George Foreman in the late 60s, 70s was a brutal, vicious fighter. Didn't smile, wasn't no personality. He was known as a killer in the ring, a career ender. George Foreman, as you know him now, is a happy, charming nice. Yeah. salesperson. Yeah. You know what I mean? So he was along the same way, and he turned
more to
his life
people.
Around.
You know, yeah, that's yeah, exactly yeah, my yeah. point.
And they're just looking.
You can't just see one. You know, thing, you know, like be remembered for just one thing. People are very layered, you know,
and
people
they're just looking for the same thing that everyone's looking for. They're looking to be accepted. They're looking for love. They're looking for peace, balance, you know, just mm-hmm. simple things, you know, that you aspire for in life. But it was great, you know, hearing it, you know, in his own words. Mm-hmm. And, very touching, very moving.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, check it out. It's on HBO now and also streaming on HBO Go, which my hat's off to Mike Tyson. I think he's gone through some ups and downs since it was filmed. He was trying to kick a cocaine drug addiction. And, you know, it's got to be tough, you know. Yeah. It's got to be tough. And I think he's on the right path. But just like everyone else, everyone's battling something in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, him being open and communicating about it.
Yep.
And this is probably a form of therapy for him.
For sure.
Kind of like the podcast is for me.
Yeah.
It's an outlet, you know.
For sure.
Please, someone listen to me.
You know?
But check that out. Maybe we'll take a break and we'll look at the trailer of Undisputed Truth. by Mike Tyson, directed by Spike Lee. And then we'll come back with, and we'll talk to Darwin. How do you say Darwin's name again? Umanzor.
There you go.
Huh? Zor. I like that. Huh?
Just Zor.
We can go with that.
I like your name. So let's listen to this trailer real quick, and then we'll be right back.
My Steve friends were my family. We all knew no one was going to give us anything. We wanted anything. We had to take it. By the time I was 12 years old, I was arrested over 38 times. My mother, she never imagined that her boy would make it out of Brownsville. I was the youngest heavyweight champion of the world. Always angry, fighting, losses. How did this happen? At the time, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. This is my story, my mistake, my heartache, my joy, my sorrow, my gift, my life. I know many of you are probably wondering, what the hell is Mike Tyson going to do up here on stage tonight? You know, and frankly, I'm wondering the same thing. I did this show for you to better understand me, of course, in my own words. You know, I'm domesticated now, kids, lawsuits. True love. And I said, no, there's going to be trouble. I went from the 10th hated man on the planet to numero uno after I bit Holyfield. My mentor told me, the way you fight your fights be the way you live your life. And I'll never quit again. And then I make a deal with the devil.
Knock, 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 only in America.
I'm just very grateful that life has come full circle for me. It's been a long one with many highs and many lows, but it's molded me into the man that stands before you. This is my undisputed truth.
Yeah, and we're back. That's how we do it, Darwin. It's that quick, huh? You were waiting. Darwin thought something was magical was going to drop down. You
no,
know?
I thought we were going to like stop for a second. And then,
no,
like,
no, the show keeps going, baby. The show keeps going. Time is the utmost.
Okay, some.
You know? Yeah, you can get him something. He polished his water off. So the listeners listening, Darwin's a friend of Miriam's, who became a friend of mine. Very, very charismatic young man. Known in the, I guess I can describe you as known as a wealth of knowledge in fashion. And as you recently pointed out to me, in fragrances. Is it men's and women's fragrances?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I always thought it was fascinating. I'm always interested in other people. And I always said in this podcast that I like to, you know, bring interesting people to the podcast. Because a lot of times there's stuff that we don't know. You know, there's things that the average listener, the average person may not know about. It could be about fashion. It could be about fitness. It could be about Mike Tyson, wine. It could be about any subject that we cover, and some of them don't necessarily make you smarter on this podcast, but
we try. Not really.
That being said, I had an interesting conversation with Darwin, I guess it was like a week ago, and we were just talking, and I was like, you know what, we should podcast about some of your wealth of knowledge when it comes to fragrance and that whole world. So tell us a little bit. Your last name, what is it? Where are you from?
It's Umanzor.
Umanzor.
Yeah.
I like that. Sounds like a superhero.
Right?
Yeah, it does, with a cape. If you had a cape, what color would it be?
Probably red.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Red cape. Yeah. Maybe trimmed in yellow.
Ooh. No.
No yellow?
No.
Any jewels?
No.
Like Elvis?
No.
No?
Huh? Some bling? No bling?
Just straight up.
Would you wear a cape? Let me ask you that, in your knowledge of fashion. Would you ever wear a cape outside of Halloween?
I was about to say, maybe for like the 4th of July.
Ah, 4th of July capes. Never thought yeah. about that. Like Evel you know? Knievel. He had red, like, white,
like,
and blue.
Yeah, like what if you live in like Florida and you go to the beach, you can wear those like big old scarves.
That is a good idea.
You could be like a cape.
Because the men now wear like these wraps, like some of the men. Have you seen it? No, I'm just saying.
Or the pants that are really tight in the leg.
In Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Yes. Yeah, but in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, both of them, what was the guy's name? Russell Brand. It was like a dress. It was like a skirt, a long, I don't know what it's called. But I've seen it in magazines and I've seen it other places. But I've seen where men have this wrap. It's like a wrap. I don't know what it's called. Do you know what it's called? Why are you
it's
laughing?
It's called a sarong, I think, or something like that.
I think, yeah.
A sarong. So That's why not a cape?
It's well, he has a fascination for capes.
I do have, and I would wear it outside of the 4th of July. You know, someone, I saw someone recently the other day,
like for Memorial Day. You could just keep the
that, but see, that could be
could
the
just wear for every single U.S. holiday.
Yeah, a cape, and then maybe that would spawn into daily because there was a time when gentlemen used to wear capes.
That's true.
Capes and top hats and canes.
Then, and then you can use the, you know, the calendar that has the saints, the Catholic saints, and you can be like, I'm celebrating this saint today.
Yeah.
Here's my cape.
With the cape. As an excuse, huh? It could be my way back in to the world of capes.
Weird top hat and the cape.
The top hats would be tough. You know what I mean? I mean, the last person to pull off a top hat was who? Abe Lincoln.
It's like a whole look. I don't know, man. A lot of
ooh, then you could be like the modern day Abraham Lincoln.
Or a freak.
Like the vampire slayer.
Or just a stone cold freak. Because, I mean, yeah, you don't want to. Yeah. And there was different variations of the cape because it evolved from a long cape, like counts would wear capes.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Counts would wear capes and princes barons. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then gentlemen would wear three quarter capes. And then they came like Sherlock Holmes. He would have like the three quarter. It'd be like a short and then like the long piece. You know what I mean? Yeah. So capes. And I don't even know if those were classified capes. But there are capes out there. And there are capes in catalogs for women.
Yes.
And they're called capes.
Mm-hmm. But no, none. They're in fashion again. Like you see them. They're coming.
I saw a lady the other day walk into a retail establishment and she was wearing a fucking cape.
See?
I didn't get a chance to go over and
congratulate her.
I spotted her and I love at first sight. Oh, a cape.
I would laugh though. You know, like if I saw somebody with a cape, because all I can think of is the Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
Like for some reason, like somebody with a cape would be like, ooh, what am I, the wolf?
Well, I like capes.
He does.
Oh, are we talking about capes again? What happened? What were we talking about?
My name sounds like a superhero.
It does. Yeah. And you have a nice, thick, full head of hair. I like that. It's nice.
Hair.
It's good hair.
You know, I trimmed it.
Yeah. Wait, recently?
Yeah.
Not since the last time I saw you.
No.
I like it. You know who you remind me of? Uh-huh. He reminds me of Jacko. Doesn't he remind you of like
really?
A young Michael Jackson? He's like a
that's weird because people call me, they say that I look like Bruno Mars.
I think
Bruno
you look
Mars
more like Bruno Mars
than
Michael Jackson.
There's some resemblance in that too. Yeah. Dang. When I look at Bruno Mars, I kind of think of Michael. But when I see you, and I don't see you that much. I see you more online, I think. First thing that comes to my mind, I think little Michael Jackson. I think young Mike Jackson.
Hmm.
I'll pull up some pictures and I'll show you the comparison.
He's pretty good. He's got a good eye for this stuff, so I'm
side
curious
by side.
As to what he's going to pull.
Before the app.
I know you so well.
Yeah, before the app, I have a talent that whenever I see someone, I associate them with a celebrity. And I'll just pick them and then if I'm out and about or if I'm next to someone, I'll be like, look. I'll show him the picture and they're like, damn.
It's pretty impressive.
And it's just, I don't know why I do that, but I associate people
you
with
a good eye.
I don't know. I think it might be a glitch in the system. You know what I mean? Like we're in some sort of
I'll take it though.
Matrix. Oh, yeah. And there's like many Michael versions Jackson. Of us. And yeah, Michael Jackson is a man. Do you like Michael? Tell us about yourself. What do you like doing? Huh? You're into fragrances. You're in
smell this stuff.
Yeah, you're into capes. I mean, what is your? Let the listeners know like what your background is as far as. I know we talked a bit about fashion, more capes, but just the whole fragrance, especially with the holidays coming up. You know, how did you get into fashion? How did you get into fragrances and all that?
Well, I got into.
Put your mouth on that mic. Let me hear you.
Okay.
There you go.
I got into fashion when I started working at this retail store.
Yeah.
After I left another retail store.
Sure.
Been
in retail for a while.
Yeah, a little bit. And then I just started working and selling like men's fashion.
Yeah, you're quite the I guess it's snazzy dresser.
Yeah,
is that
it's
it?
Snazzy.
Sharp.
He is sharp.
Very sharp.
I try.
Thin ties.
Not
all the time.
And you know how to tie a tie.
Yeah.
That's tough. What do you tie when you tie your tie? Jesus, that's a lot of ties.
What do you tie when
you
tie
your tie?
Yeah,
how do you tie? Windsor, half Windsor, double Windsor?
Oh, I do double Windsor. I don't like the other ones. Unless they're like
three-quarter
skinny.
Mm.
I don't like that one. because it looks like sloppy a little bit. I don't know. I like it when it's thick.
Yeah. I feel you. I can only tie like one way. And I think it's like a, I think it's a half, there you go. I think it's a half Windsor. That's what I do. But it's a little difficult for me. You have to show us how to, we should do a video.
Ooh.
Huh? And upload
how
it.
How to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could try.
Yeah. So what do you, what type of stuff have you sold? Like just what type of apparel?
Darwin
apparel.
Can sell.
I've sold suits, dress shirts, ties, tie clips, jeans. I mean, pretty much all of that.
The whole shebang.
Yeah.
Is there any mistakes that people, that you see that people make when purchasing?
The biggest mistake is when they're giving people like a dress shirt for Christmas or something like that.
Yeah.
And they come in and they say, oh, like, I'm looking for a medium. And it's like, no, like, dress shirts are
sized,
sized by the neck size and the sleeve length. So it's really, it's, you know, it's the most common mistake.
Because they get them too big or too small?
They just don't know the
size. They don't know the size. Because, I mean, like, let's say, like, you may have, like, a large body, but your neck could still be, like, really small.
Yeah.
So it's like that's you weird. Have to, yeah.
It's like, it's like a Charlie Brown character or something, huh? What
but
the
I
fuck?
Mean, but it does happen, though, you know?
Yeah.
And then you, and then if you get them like a size 19 neck, which is like really, really big.
That's huge.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But if you give them that.
Then they look like a cartoon. Yeah.
It's going to look like they belong in Alice
like
in
a puppet.
Wonderland or something.
Yeah. But no one buys a size 19 neck. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, mine's, I do like, I don't know, 16 or 17. I've gone as high as 17 and a half, but that's if I put on some extra LBSs over the holidays.
Yeah.
But I try not to. Usually it's like 16, I think, is what I get. The hardest part are the sleeves. And also the length as well, because there are some shirts, and I struggle with this. Some are longer, and some are shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a slew that seem to be short, and they don't want to tuck in the way I want them to tuck in. And then when I do, it's always rise up, and I look sloppy. Why is that? I mean, are there fitted shirts? Are there? Do you have to get them tailored so that it fits your body type? I mean, I struggle with the shirt, let me tell you.
Well, first of all, you need to get sized, like, properly.
It takes time, though.
It doesn't really.
Takes time. You know, sometimes men just want to, but men just want to go in and they want to grab it and be gone with it.
You
know, give me a, I want to go in and get a Van Heusen, get my Van Heusen and get out.
Yeah, but you just gotta know.
I moved up since I don't wear Van Heusens anymore, but that's the only one that pops into my mind. But
you know what I mean, though? But it's like if you get sized correctly once, then you won't have to do it again. And then you can just.
Assuming you don't gain weight or lose weight.
So, I mean, I feel like you're probably getting a size on the neck that's too small. So it makes the shirts
short.
Because, I mean, if you have somebody that's like a 16-34, which is probably what you are, or like 16 and a half.
Yeah, yeah, it's like 34, 35, or I think it's 35.
Yeah, like the neck detects that, you know, it's somebody that might be a little bit shorter.
But with me, I have to be careful because, like, my shoulders are broad. So that place.
So in your situation, I would probably get like a traditional fit.
Yeah.
And then I would just have it taken in from the sides.
Now, what's that cost?
If you get it at the store, it's usually cheaper, so it's around like $15, $15, $20.
So you pay whatever for a shirt and tack on $15, but it fits right.
But it fits right.
And you look good in it.
And it'll be long enough for you to tuck it in, and it'll be like fitted enough around the waist.
How many shirts should someone have in their wardrobe? Ooh. Like just say someone on a budget, okay?
But,
like how many like a white, no, blue or blah 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 blah. Is there a rule, a general rule of thumb?
Well, if it's a person that's, you know, working at an office full time, I feel like you should always have two white shirts because they go with everything. Two light blue.
Yeah.
And then if you like blues, then like either stripes or window paint or something like that, where you can switch it up a little bit. But I mean, I feel like you should have at least like 12 shirts.
Yeah.
12, 14 shirts. But the good thing about if you buy shirts that are made really well is that you can buy like two at a time, so you can, you know, buy two and then, you know, like a month or two later you can buy two more, but those shirts are going to last you longer, so by the time you get your 12 you might have to replace the first two, so it's like it's a good cycle of, you know, kind of building and cleaning up your closet at the same time.
So shirt sizes is one of the mistakes that people make. What else do you see?
Also, the pants.
Yeah.
When people come in and they're like, oh, I want a size 34, 32 slacks. You know, like the ones that you wear, like the dress slacks. And it's like...
Too long?
No, because a lot of the times we have the tailors measure them mm-hmm. like exactly with dress shoes on. So that is exactly to that person. Because no, I mean... Typically, no one's going to be like a 34, 32. You know, somebody might be like a 34, 32 and a half. Mm-hmm. And then if you do that, then it's like slightly short. So where I work, we usually have them measure both. And also because one of your foot is typically longer than the other.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah.
Wow.
Just a little bit.
Club foot.
One of your legs is longer than
yeah.
the other?
Yeah.
That's what they say. I've heard this before.
Yeah. God, and also just because one of your arms is like longer than the other.
Look out.
I need to get measured.
But yeah, so...
Out of curiosity.
So they come in and they always like, oh, but, and I'm like, I can do it, but it, you know, it probably won't be the right size.
So the I guess the moral of the story is size. Take the time out and get sized.
Yeah.
Huh? Now, do you think that would be rude? Let's say if I go get sized and then I just post it on the refrigerator or post it on my Facebook page saying,
this is my size.
These are my...
No.
Because, I mean, or let's say if somebody does buy you a shirt that's a little larger, can you get that tailored instead of like taking it back? Or wouldn't it be better just to, instead of taking it back, to just get it fitted?
Well, it depends though. If the neck size is correct, then yeah. But if the neck size is wrong, then you need to
take it back.
Yeah.
But it's always good to get tailored because I do notice and, you know, I've purchased things where, man, it just seems too long in the sleeve or too... The other day I did a wine event and my shirt just was too tight, you know? It was very snug, fitted, you know, around my chest and stuff and it didn't tuck in right. And I was like, Lord, what am I going to just pour this wine with my
coat? Did you get it at the junior section?
Yeah, sometimes, man, it ain't easy being me, man. It ain't easy. But I need to know these tips. I think people need to know stuff like this.
Another thing is collar stays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the little...
I've used paper clips before.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
yeah. Work?
Yeah, paper clips work.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, if you leave them in and you take it to the dry cleaners and when they press it... You could it leaves the imprint of the paper clip permanently on it, especially if it's a blue shirt. I know this from experience, people. Take out the damn paper clips. You shouldn't even use paper clips, right? You're looking at me shaking your head. He's laughing at me, people. Yeah, I've used them.
No.
I mean, I'm not the only one.
And that's actually a really good gift to give.
Paper clips?
No, not paper clips. The collar stays, like the metal ones, though.
They have gold ones.
I don't know how I feel about the whole different colors, but... the collar stays because they add weight to the shirt. So when you're taking it off, you also remember they're like, oh, this shirt is heavy. Let me take the, you know.
Because there's nothing worse when you're doing, if you're out and about and you're shining, you're looking all good, and your collars start to buckle like the Wicked Witch of the West, like
either inwards or outwards,
in The Wizard of Oz. Yeah,
like,
or they bend in, yeah. And it just looks, you know. I'm always finding myself going like this because I don't have, I always either, the collar stays have this strange little, it's like a toothpick-shaped container. And whenever I always, you know, I end up buying them like once a year, I'll buy a bunch of them, and I end up knocking them over. You know? It's the worst. It needs to be like in a flat, like a cigarette container or something. You know, like the gentleman used to have the cigarettes and the chrome thing, and they carried it around. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what they need to be. Because I knock them on. Once they go over, it's done, you know. I don't pick them up ever. They just stay there, and I just walk over. And I'm
anymore.
A very sloppy person. Very sloppy. But I agree 1,000%. The collar stays, that's something. That'd be a good stocking stuffer. No?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Would you be mad if someone gave you stays?
No.
No, those are things you need. I always tell people, you know, give me socks, underwear, just basic stuff. They always look at me like I'm crazy, but there's nothing like a good quality pair of, you know, a pair of drawers.
And it's so much easier when, like for my...
I mean?
Remember for my birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Like how I asked people for, like, underwear and socks.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, you did.
And it's like, yeah, like, if you buy me, like, a pair of underwear, that like a three-pack that's, like, $30, and then, like, other two people do the same thing that I have, like,
you're
new
set.
Underwear.
You're set.
And it's my birthday, and it's like it's a cheap gift for you, and it's like
you're set.
I mean, I'm just good.
I do the same thing. I always tell people the exact same thing. You know,
like, let me make it easier for you. These are 3 for $27. It's either this or the other thing.
Yeah. No. When people hint and they say something like, "Oh, don't give me anything. Give me some underwear. Give me some stays." I mean, stuff like that. These are things that I think the average person, they don't buy themselves. They always wait. You know what I mean? If you're like my grandfather, you'd have holes in your underwear before you before you go out and buy new underwear. My grandfather is notorious. It would walk around. Oh, man, holy underwear. Really? And the thin T-shirt is so thin, it was almost transparent. I mean, it would hold
the
on.
Undershirt?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Grandfather was ruthless with his stuff. But men do that. Men will wear socks, you know, until they wear out, and underwear. And, you know, you should, I don't know if there's a general rule of thumb when you should change them, but I'm like you. If you give it to me as a gift, I'm good, just because it's something that a lot of people just wait to the last minute to buy. And if you can get a good collection going, you know, you're set. You have enough, right?
Yeah. Like, your undershirts, you usually want to replace every, like, 6 months.
I like a nice undershirt. I iron my undershirts.
Dude, you tried the Tommy Johns?
No.
Oh, they're like heaven.
What are Tommy Johns?
They're these really, really...
Soft?
Like, really soft.
It's probably like this American Apparel.
Probably more.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But they're like...
You guys are like,
no.
Oh my God, it's so soft.
But actually, though, they're super soft.
Tommy John's.
And I want 4 of them that I'm waiting for.
And what do those cost? So what were those cost you set you back?
$58.
Whoa. $58 for a T-shirt.
$58 for an undershirt?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it better be soft.
The underwear is so soft, too.
Motherfucker better feel like a titty.
It's like $39.
I'm not kidding.
But they don't they're made really well, and the whole thing is that they don't yellow.
It better be made very well.
But the whole thing is that they don't yellow around the armpits.
Ah, I need that.
So you won't have to buy them as often.
I have yellow shirts that have yellow around the underarms. I'll say that again. I have yellow shirts that have yellow around the underarms. Damn. What do I got to do to get a laugh in here, people? Jesus, now. Yeah, I'll look in.
You should have said that one more time. I feel I would have gotten it.
Yeah. And other things. Give me some other tips. Give the listeners other tips. Sports jackets, blazers, ties. I mean, do you have to spend a lot to match up? Because I know we talked about this a week ago. You were like, oh, I didn't spend that much for this. I got this shirt here. Mixing and matching. How does that come into play?
I mean, it's all about how you treat your clothes and what you use to, you know, wash your clothes with and how you wash them. But I mean, you can have things that are not that expensive. Like I was telling you, what I was wearing last week were these jeans that I got at a store in New York called Uniqlo.
Oh yeah,
what's it called?
Uniqlo. Uniqlo.
Where's that at?
It's in New York. It's in my hat. There's 3 in New York now. There's one in Soho, and there's one in Times Square, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this really big department store.
And what do those jeans cost? $350?
No. I got them for like $30.
Oh, wow. That's
and the thing that I like about the store, too, is that they hem the pants for you.
Oh, yeah.
I get Dickies for $15, but go ahead.
Oh, we're going to talk about your Dickies in a little bit.
So go ahead about the...
But they size them specifically at your length, because, I mean, I'm short. I'm like 5'4".
Yeah.
So I'm not even a size 30 length. I'm like a 28.
Mm-hmm.
But I can never find 28. So that was a perfect store for me, and they fit really well. But, yeah, and it's all about how you treat your clothes. Like my blazer I got at Macy's like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I think. And I never got it sized. And at the time, I got the wrong size. I got a size way too small, because I'm.
Had it taken out then?
No, that's before I started working at where I work now. So I was wearing the jackets, and they were just tight, and I just looked a little bit messy, and a little
that's
bit
me
complicated.
All the time.
But then, you know, like this in the beginning of the year, I lost like 30 pounds, so now they actually fit perfectly.
Yeah, I have clothes like that.
I'm set. for now. But yeah, so it's all about how you
couple
treat
pork
it.
Chops and beans and rice that'll change that whole program, won't it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh? I'm messing with him.
Yeah.
But well, yeah, but I mean, there are some really nice shirts that I have though that I bought specifically because I'm going to have them for like at least 2-3 years.
So you mentioned also the care that goes into it. Like, yeah. Like what are you, Tide?
Well, yeah, I actually do use Tides. I use yeah. little pods.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Tide.
Yeah, I do too. But do you use fragrance Tide? Do you use liquid or powder? This is important information, people.
I like the little pods.
Oh, yeah. Those are easy.
Because whenever I use the liquid, I would always put so much.
Too much, yeah.
And I mean, it's the clothes just still smell really, really nice. But
yeah.
But yeah, and then, but I wash my clothes in cold water.
I do that with the dark clothes.
I do it with all of them.
Yeah.
Even with the whites, just because
I like a lot of bleach in my whites.
Me too.
Yeah. I like it. I like when it comes out. It smells like bleach, and when it just it
clean. I do it because I lie to myself, and it's going to get whiter, but then they never do.
No, I do. I'm in love with bleach.
Bleach damages your clothes.
I take a bath in it.
It's only the undershirts, though.
I know, but that's why you need to get new ones all the time.
I know.
Yeah, but tonight they're clean. At least I think they are.
They're
it
not
seems
cleaner
clean.
Than they would have been if they didn't smell like bleach when you took them out. Yeah.
Really? I thought the bleach makes it clean.
Like bleach.
All right, people. So yeah, you're hearing it. This is
so much laundry talk.
Yeah, but some. Right? But I'm just saying, I find it fascinating. I can't be the only one. Even if I am, this is American Riddle. So that's how it's going down. we're gonna do it whether you like it or not. And you motherfuckers better not be fast forwarding it or pausing it. Listen to this whole program because you're gonna wish you had this information. Especially some of the fellas when I see you going out there. Oversized or undersized shirts, or hey, when I see someone at a bank working and they got a club shirt on for a dress shirt, you know what I mean? And the women do it too.
Shiny.
Don't even try to do it, women. You guys got the club gear on and you're at work. It's the wrong attire. Do you see that a lot?
I hate it.
I see it with
like there are a couple of places that I want you to look neat. I want you to wear your white shirt and your stripe colorful tie, whatever color you want to choose. But when I go to the bank, like. You know,
yeah,
I work, I have to dress nice and I have to like make myself presentable. Like you should too. You're handling money. You're handling my money.
I agree.
I want you to look pleasant when I show up.
You know? You got to smell good too. I notice on the table here in the studio, you have an assortment of fragrances. Now, are these all men's fragrances?
No. There's one that is described as, you know, female. For women.
Uh-huh. Usually female.
Well, you know.
For women. It's like Tokyo and Japan.
Right. And then I have four that are specifically for men because I'm a dude.
Yeah.
And I wear men's cologne. And then I have four that are unisex.
Now, with the, you know, in this line of work, when it comes to fragrances, do you find or do you see the same type of mistakes people make with their clothing as they do with fragrances? Because sometimes people, their skin secretes, you know, different oils and stuff that you know, what works for your friend or your mom or whomever might not work for you because you're going to perspire and it's just different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Pheromones.
Yeah, that's like what it is. What's that word?
Pheromones.
Ah, it's nice. And, I like that word.
Like I was telling you last week with when you're trying on perfume on you, you should spray it in your pulse point. So like, in the back of your wrist.
That's what I did.
But the mistake that people make is that they rub
it.
Remember?
They rub their two wrists together. I've seen it in the movies.
And what that does is that it releases the alcohol in, so that when you smell it, it smells different. And you can apply it like.
So when you're at home, you don't do that.
Right.
Don't do it that way.
Don't. Or even just never do it. Mm. You can tap.
But don't rub.
And then like put your hands. Yeah.
On your secret spots.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I have a few.
But, yeah, and the thing is, like, with, I think one of my rules is when it comes to things I'm going to smell like or I'm going to put on my face.
Dracar.
True.
Dracar noir.
But, like, that's something that I will spend money on. Like, I will spend money on
obsession.
Fragrances. No, not obsession.
Cool water.
Cool water cologne. No? Polo.
Oh, Jesus.
Chaps.
Ew, what is that?
Adidas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they sell that at CVS, don't they?
I mentioned at least. Or is it these are all that were really popular in the 80s. You know, these were.
Before things got worse.
Yeah. It was a lot of spices and stuff like that. You brought one
it's
in.
Coming back.
Yeah, there are. The spices are?
Like spicy and woodsy fragrances are coming back.
Older people.
No, because.
But you should wear it. You should wear the spicy stuff. Shouldn't it be seasonal? Because I used to wear like light. I don't wear cologne anymore, but there was a time when I did wear cologne and jewelry and all that stuff. And I would wear a lighter one, you know, and I don't want a spicy one in the summertime when it's like 90 degrees out.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, you want to wear something that is fresh and citrusy.
Yeah.
Or like lemony, some people say it. And for like the fall and the winter, you want to wear your spicy woodsy ones. If you wear a spicy cologne during the summer, what it does is that the heat just makes it so much more strong,
yeah,
or stronger than it actually already is.
It's too much.
So it's just going to smell really, really bad.
Hmm. Yeah. I always run into people where it's the same thing with the club gear at work, or they put too much cologne on to work out, or too much cologne on. Just in general, I always smell a combination, strange odor of cologne and cigarettes. Those guys, I stay away, you know?
Oh, God, no.
Too much cologne. You guys, you run into this, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no.
Hmm?
There was,
people can leave a trail of scent. It's just, oh.
The last place that I used to live at,
yeah,
we used to have this gym, and I used to go, and there was this white guy that used to go all the time, and he would go bananas on the bicycle.
Yeah.
But like so super, super fast. And then he would get on the treadmill and do the same thing and go like 7 miles like every 30 seconds. And every single time he would run and I would be there,
yeah,
he used to smell so bad.
Yes.
But horrible. And I'm like, oh, you need to start using something, brother.
Yeah. So do you consult people? Like if they come in and they're...
No.
No, whatever they like, you just...
Oh, no. I mean, like you have to... Oh, I was about to use the term. You have to like analyze the person. You have to ask questions that are going to give you a good, you know, like prospect. Like when I was talking to Miriam about some of the fragrances that she might like, I was like, do you like something that's sweet, something that's floral, something that's woodsy or citrusy, powdery? Like you have to use words that describe the fragrance because then you can collect information.
Yeah.
Funny enough, this person that I was dating before I got into fragrances, I was showing fragrances and, you know, he was like, oh, like, I feel like you would work really well in the wine business or the fragrance business because, like, you can describe things. And I was like, oh. And then, funny enough, then I started doing fragrances and then I got promoted and then I'm, like, managing fragrances now, so...
It's amazing. And you enjoy it. You enjoy it. It's a big business.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. And what do you have on the table? Like, are these some of the more popular ones?
Well, I have 9.
You had one that you had the other last time I saw you that was very light and fresh. And I think there was some citrus in that one. But just a really pretty smell. Like, very nice. Like, fresh. Yeah.
White suede.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
White suede.
Yeah, by Tom Ford.
Tom Ford. I like that.
Yeah. In all of the Tom Ford, actually I have 4 that are Tom Ford that I'm going to show you guys. But in going back to the whole like spicy and everything, that's one of the things why unisex fragrances right now are doing so well. It's because women want to smell woodsy. And they want to smell mysterious. And
I want
them. They do,
they
yeah.
I want the mystery in the woods.
And then, like you
I
were saying.
I want to
saying,
get them in
with,
the woods. I need it. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Like you were saying with, you know, people sweating and everything.
Yeah,
and people body like body's chemicals. You know, something woodsier might smell
different,
very feminine on her, but it might smell really masculine.
I have a nose that doesn't quit. I'm like a bloodhound. Like I can literally close my eyes and smell people as they walk by. I smell them. And even in retail, when you work retail, when you're around a lot of people, you could be in a gym or wherever, you know, I always notice people by their smells. I'll notice, and I'm like a dog. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's amazing.
I'm glad you made that joke because I was about to.
No, I am. I mean, I'm very much am, and I'll notice it, and I'll say it a lot of times. Sometimes they look at me like I'm weird because I'll compliment. I'll say, "Oh man, you smell really nice," or you know, if some girls come in, I'd be like, "Ooh, cotton candy." You know what I mean? I want to take a bite out of you, girl. But you know, it doesn't go over too well. But I've said it. You know, and
I can't stand those. Oh, Jesus.
I like cotton candy. I do like cotton candy. So if it smells like cotton candy, or, you know, really what I'm thinking, you smell like a stripper. You know what I mean? But, you know, I like strippers too. So, I mean, no big deal. No harm. But what these are, let's smell one of these. Let's get to Tom Ford.
Hold on.
Enough about my perversions. Yes.
Actually.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Are you looking for, like, perfume strips?
Hey, man. Oh, you're prepared. You just carry around these, huh?
This was in his car, he said.
Yeah.
So, you're a traveling salesman. Kind of. So, Tom, who are some of the top producers? Who's hot right now? Tom Ford, obviously.
Tom Ford. We have Joe Malone.
Joe Malone.
Just because they're both
I like those names.
Unisex.
Joe Malone and Tom Ford.
Yeah.
Sound like detectives.
And then we have Flower Bomb that does really, really well.
Flower Bomb's popular with ladies.
Yeah. Really, really
very,
popular.
Very popular.
And then obviously, you know,
I smell a lot of women that use Flower Bomb.
You know, I smell a lot of women that wear Chanel No. 5.
Classic.
That, and at first I used to hate it.
It's classic.
Oh, I used to hate it.
You can't put too much on, though.
No.
Got to put it in the right spots. Just a dab, just a touch.
But after working there for so long, like you
neckline.
Start to smell all the other notes.
Yeah.
So, and I love it. I love how it smells because it's so sophisticated and just classy.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So what is this one?
This one is called Shanghai Lily. It came out in September. It's by Tom Ford.
Shanghai.
Yeah.
No, do the names represent anything? Like when you say Chanel number 5, what does the number 5 represent, do you know? Is it a
I don't remember the history of Chanel number 5. What I do know is that they were the ones to invent
It smells like my barbershop. Yeah.
Well,
it smells
yeah,
like barbershop. The stuff they put on you after they trim your I don't know if you've ever been to a barbershop, but in the hood yeah, we go to a barbershop and it smells like the stuff they dab you with afterwards.
Yeah.
That's exactly
after
what that reminds you of.
When
they edge me up and they used to do it with straight razors back in the day, like the 70s and early 80s.
Oh,
but
they
then,
still do it.
Yeah, but they have to be a little bit more, as long as they're a little bit more careful just because of like disease, hepatitis and all that stuff because it's a razor. But it's few and far between that people use the razor.
Yeah, that's true.
But it smells exactly like that. That's what that one reminded me of. Not that that's a bad smell. It just triggered that sight. So, Tom Ford. Smell like
this
my barber.
One, this one is Tobacco Vanilla. It's also by Tom Ford.
Tobacco Vanilla?
Vanilla.
Oh, I thought you said the back of...
Tobacco.
Tobacco Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Mm. Probably smells like the last cab driver I had.
Well,
interesting.
Tobacco and vanilla.
And... One of the things that I like about
again.
One of the things that I like about Tom Ford is that the history behind them. This particular one, the story is that he went to a pub in England and they were smoking cigars and
stogies.
They had, you know, female people just going all around smelling like vanilla.
Oh, you know what does kind of remind me of a.
So,
you're right. It reminds me of like the cigar box.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's a really sexy smell. Once you like, if you have it with the right person, yeah, it's really
it's manly.
Yeah,
you gotta have
the these are all unisex ones, right?
Yeah, these are all. This one's Plum Japanese.
But a lot
this
of
ones,
go ahead.
This one's really interesting because it's really strong when you first smell it. I put it on my scarf like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When I went clubbing.
Wow.
And I put it on, and then it was a week later, and it's my, I had to wash my scarf because it still smelled like that.
Wow.
Now, how much do you do that often? Just put a dab or so on a garment?
Yeah.
And it'll stay?
It depends, though. Depends on the oil concentration, and it also depends on a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
My nose tickles.
Oh, one trick. Smell your shirt. Because
thanks.
It helps you clear your nose.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it cleansing your palate. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one we actually don't have where I work. But
what is this? What is this?
This one is...
Armani.
No.
Looks like the Armani case.
No.
Yeah. Stainless steel.
Carolina Herrera, 212 for men.
Hmm. What is that down there? They're working outside?
Probably.
I hear some people lurking. Sorry, the podcast will go
this
on.
It's sweeter.
It's sweeter, yeah.
I smell it.
Mm-hmm.
That one has citrus. No?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Ah, I like that one, too. Yeah, I usually just get, what is it, gifts. People give me stuff like that. Like, should you even give someone a gift when it comes to that?
Yeah.
Because it's hard to figure out what they like, right?
Yeah. And what
unless you go snooping around, you know.
But, no, but I mean, with fragrances. Like,
not that I've done that before, but, you know. What's wrong? I'm not worried about it. Just keep going. It's good. I've had more noise than this on the podcast.
That's true.
Trust me. So
but with fragrances, I feel like it's an easier topic to bring up when you're trying to get to know something like what they like.
Yeah.
Because I can easily just ask me, you know, like, oh, like, do you like fruity fragrances?
Probe.
Citrusy.
Yeah.
You know, you have to. That's the word I was going
to
use.
Yeah, you have to probe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like the powdery stuff more than the super citrusy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, just that
spicy.
Just, I mean, it's just like anything else. I guess you just need to know the person you're giving the gift to, not just buy them some cologne. And that's usually what happens to me. Someone just gives me a bunch of cologne, and it sits, and one day I'll use it. Like I've got a bunch of cologne.
Well, if it's over a year and a half, going on 2 years, you should probably throw it.
Yeah,
but you should be careful where you throw it though, because it's flammable.
Yeah,
it
is
highly flammable.
Yeah,
that's true.
So you should, what, how do you dispose of cologne? I mean, some people have colognes like, you know, grandpa would have colognes for, you know, 100 years.
Well, because before the fragrances were made differently.
Chaps.
It was less alcohol, more
Brut
oil.
By Fabergé.
And that is.
You remember Brut? You remember that? You remember that cologne?
Yeah.
It was like a green bottle.
Yeah.
You remember this? A lot of men wore it. A lot of African Americans wore it. Go ahead. Keep saying what you're saying.
No, I'm too interested now.
This place smells.
It's an aftershave. Brut 66 was an aftershave.
I don't know that one. I remember the green one.
No, it's this. Yeah. And it used to have like an old school like charm on it, like a silver chain or something. Do you remember that?
Is that like the old time version of the Irish soaps? Like
Irish bars? Spring.
Yeah.
I still use Irish Spring. I used Irish Spring this morning. What do you mean old time? That's what I smell like. I keep it fresh. Are you kidding me? That's what I wear. What type of soap do you use? Oh, we can get into this conversation.
My real dad.
Dial?
He used to.
Irish Spring?
He used
keep
to.
Keep it basic. You know what I mean?
Why, though? Why?
It's just soap. It's just a bar of soap. What difference does it make?
I don't even know.
Huh? What's the best type of soap someone should use?
Well, what I use was given to me for free, so.
Is it expensive, like a $75 bottle?
Yeah, it's one of those really pricey.
Made out of human lard or something?
No, it's
human
only
fat.
Like 35. I've had it since August, though.
But does it
smell forever?
Is it highly perfumed?
No, it just has a hint of
lavender.
Orange, actually.
Mm.
Yeah.
Apple blossom.
No.
No?
No.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there's good soap. I keep it simple, like, Coast, Dove. I use Dove.
I like those.
It's really whatever I pick up. When it comes to soap, I'm just as manly as I could ever get. I see something. Oh, look at that. There's a sale. I'll grab 12 bars, and that's what I'm going to use for the next, you know, month or two. I go through a lot of soap, though, fast.
Why?
I take a lot of showers.
Do
a lot. Really? Yeah. 2 to 3 a day.
But how do you do that when you're at work?
Before.
I take 2 showers before.
I'll take one in the morning, then I go at the gym before I go to work, and then or if I'm just running around, there's usually a gym somewhere, so I make sure I sign up with a gym that I know is going to be multiple, and then take one at night, then another one in the morning,
and then it starts again.
Yeah, it's a cycle. I'm very it's very strange.
Well,
strange habit.
My problem with
but the soap dries your skin.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on which soap you're using. If you're using Irish Spring, then...
That doesn't do it so bad. When I use Dove, Dove will dry my skin.
And that's supposed to be more moisturizing. That's
Nah, it doesn't do it. It dries me out. But I feel clean as if I use bleach. I do. It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Some of your black folk might have a problem with that joke.
What?
Using bleach? Never mind.
Oh, why? Because you get ashy. Is that why?
No.
Why? I want to know the joke. Help me.
Because of the whitening?
Oh.
Oh, that was where that joke was going. Never mind.
I don't know where it went, people, but Darwin tried.
I was telling Miriam that I was going to have a disclaimer. Like, I'll try to make sense, but if I don't, then...
You're fine.
You know, just, yeah, you're doing
so what are the other ones?
Okay. So this one is the one that's specifically for women. It's Coquette Fleur.
What's it called?
It's Le Original by Coquette Fleur.
The Original?
Mm-hmm.
The Original what?
Well, the this company is actually the... oldest French perfumery in the world. They started in 1776, I think.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So it has a really...
That one works. You don't like that one?
It's very floral.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's really feminine and really sophisticated.
Yeah, it is. That's what I think of.
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone like in a cream coat with a little fur around the collars, you know.
Let me this one.
My mom smelled that one.
Smells like a lady.
She went like this. She's like...
Yeah.
It smells so good.
Yeah, I like that one.
But she said it in Spanish.
Mm. How do you say it in Spanish? It smells so good.
Huele bien rico.
Ah. So yeah, I like the fragrances. I like the I love that the idea of going in and taking the time to get, you know, tailored and know your shirt size and all that, because there's a lot of stuff that people just don't know. Like, who would know you're not supposed to rub your wrists together when you I never knew that stuff.
For the alcohol content and stuff. Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
And also, I mean, one of the things that most people don't understand or don't know is that there's different types of perfume and parfums and colognes and everything.
Eau de toilette.
Yeah, because you have the eau de toilette, you have the eau de parfum, then you have parfum, pure parfum.
Different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no one like,
And then different depending on the level... Depending on the level or the name, it's the oil concentration.
Right.
Like... in betweens that they have, and then that'll determine how long they last and how much you should apply. Because if you buy, you know, like a cheap eau de toilette, I mean, it's gonna last you for like 3-4 hours, and then you're gonna have to reapply. But if you get something that's really nice, like an eau de parfum or a parfum, then those have more oil concentration. So
it's a lot of work. A lot of work for me, anyway. I mean, it's important. I think ladies to smell good, and some guys too. Cause some guys have a funny must. But I just assume not have any smell whatsoever.
Have you noticed the men that smell a little spicy? But like when they don't wear anything because they eat like too much spice.
Yeah, they smell like a hot dog.
It's not a good smell.
No, they motherfuckers need something. Some people are just they're humans.
Yeah, but humans. The thing is, people smell different to different people. You know what I mean? So it's like
everybody smells like something to me.
No, everyone.
And usually,
has
it's
a
like
smell.
Hot dog.
No,
like,
everyone has wet. A smell. And there's that too.
Yeah. Milk,
you know, for sure. But there's
cabbage.
But something for one person can smell really good. Like their pheromones, like
chicken
just match. You know, and it's like for that woman or that person or whatever. It's like,
and that's
that
true.
Smell is just like oh,
that's
and
true.
For
because
other people, it's like
people develop different senses. Like when you guys were smelling these other two. Well, five. She might smell more of the florals, if there's any, or she might smell some more of the citrus. So it just depends on. And when I was going through my fragrance certification, one of the things that I learned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of the things that I learned was that women, both baby girls, they respond to perfume at a younger age than little boys do.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, of course.
And also, it also talks about how like how the average age is and everything
else
women,
about it. I mean, women are on the fast track to glamour way before, you know, men are thinking about fashion and fitness and or just anything in general. I mean,
when I was little and I was in El Salvador, I remember I was like 8-9 years old and I used to hate like having to shower. Like brush my teeth.
Didn't want
to. I never wanted to, and that's one of the reasons why my teeth are so yellow now. But And then I got to a certain age, and then I was like, oh no, like I have to smell good, and I have to like.
You look good. My teeth don't what have are you to talking about? I think you. You're like every time well, I no, see I you, mean, you're like yeah. pristine. Everything about you is like it's like well thought out, well put together.
It is.
Yeah, it's like.
I mean,
yeah.
he spent a lot of time asking us how he looked before he left the house.
Yeah, like the other, like I guess the other day you were like, oh, worried about this the little nick right here. Yeah. Above your eyebrow, but I mean, it's just like it's not even an issue.
But
it's
I thought
like,
I was a ninja.
Yeah, thought he was a ninja and cut his eye.
You know, I did.
It's a funny thing.
Every single time I tell people stories about El Salvador, like funny stories, I'm like, life wasn't so bad.
And how long did you live there, in El Salvador?
12 years.
Yeah,
I was 13. Yeah.
A lot different than here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God.
What's
yeah.
the biggest difference?
School. Because over there we have like 2 terms.
Yeah.
Like you either go in the morning or you go in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So you go in from like 7:15 to 11:45. And you have recesses in between, but you learn so much when you're in class. And then after that you go home, you eat or whatever. And my routine was after that, I would just go to my cousin's house and I would just play for like 4 or 5 hours. And we would play like tag and like
you're outside
yeah cops and robbers and everything and
yeah
and it used to be so much fun. And then we would go in and like around like 4 or 5 we would start doing our homework and then we would eat and then we would go ahead and you know play hide and seek at night and then I would get home around like 9 o'clock and then I would just go to sleep.
A lot of running around.
Yeah.
Any TV, any movies, stuff like that?
No, I didn't have a color TV until I was 10.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
It is. That was in that's good.
That was in 2001.
Yeah, that's unheard of. That's unheard of.
I used to watch, oh my God, I remember. That's when my obsession for Sailor Moon happened. I used to watch Sailor Moon in black and white.
Yeah.
They never even made it in black and white. Our TV was so old that it didn't have color.
You had an antenna television.
Yeah.
With the dials?
No. I had the one that you connect to the back, mm-hmm. and then you have like this huge tube that you have there.
Yeah.
You have this big old antenna.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar.
So those, yeah.
I grew up so in those eras.
We would have that, and it was... And then my dad called my grandma, because that's when they started having to do my papers to mm-hmm. come here. He's like, oh, like, just go get a TV. Like, he wanted to, you know, make him just so much more likable and, you know... Oh. Whatever, and start building a reputation. That's a different problem.
That had to have been fascinating when you come from a different country. It's almost like a new world, and especially with television, because I've met people where television has been their form of education, and then you come here, and all of a sudden, like, what could go through someone's mind when you see a color television?
Well, I mean,
I went out of my mind when I first saw like a video disc player, like a holy mackerel. You mean you can play a movie? What is this box? What is this magic? You know what I mean? And you see a color TV, like what goes through your mind?
No, I mean, there were people that had color TVs. Yeah. We just didn't have one.
But
and
still.
I used to watch all these shows, all these like yeah. cartoons.
Yeah.
I used to love the anime when I was little.
Yeah.
And I used to go to my friend's house that lived like across the street, like literally. And I would just watch it there and then I would go eat.
No, it was the same way with me when I was coming up. It was the same way. Like I had friends that had VCRs and cable. You know what I mean? I was like, holy shit, is this for real?
When I came here and I had to create I went from having like a typewriter.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this makes El Salvador sound like a third world country.
No, typewriters, I mean, you're talking my talk.
When it was back in 2003, I just was starting to...
Typewriters.
Typewriter. Yeah. And I used to go like this.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, just horrible.
Taking you forever. Now you got computers.
Hold
you got,
on. Yeah. And then I get here, and I'm like having to use a computer, and I'm like, I don't even know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I had to create an email account.
Mm.
And I was like, the fuck?
You had to figure it out. Yeah, it's a whole new
and
world.
And it was back in 2004 at that point.
Yeah, that's...
So they didn't really have that many of like the websites in Spanish. I was like, I'm fucking screwed. I don't even know. But then, and then I went back like 4 years later. And the girl, my friend that was teaching me how to typewrite,
mm-hmm.
saw me typing. And then she started just making fun of me. She was like, haha, remember when you used to go like this?
Yeah.
Learn.
So that's amazing. I mean,
yeah. You know, so it was like the change was just
it's a journey.
Yeah.
Quite the journey. Now you recently got into Lucille Ball, right? You've been talking quite a bit about I Love Lucy. And is that a new kind of passion or a new discovery for you?
Yeah. Well, you see, I was reading, I can't remember who, I was talking to someone.
Yeah.
And the person, we were talking about TV.
Yeah.
And that person was like, oh, like I Love Lucy. And then we just started talking about that. And then my friend Lucio, actually, he lets me use his Hulu account.
Yeah.
So I was going through Hulu, and that's when I was sick, when
so,
I almost died.
So you had some, you almost died.
So, what the hell? Yeah, I had 103 fever for like 4 days.
Wow.
Yeah. But so then I was in bed. So then I just started watching I Love Lucy, and I started watching from the first season.
Yeah.
And then I skipped all the way to the last season when they live in Connecticut, and I love it.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I love it. And then I started reading all the trivia about it. Uh-huh. And how Ethel and her husband hated each other in real life. And I was like, ooh, this sounds like the 21st century drama.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on. And a lot of television shows, there's like on-air feuds, but you would never know it. But that's classic television right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
No, and I was, you know, looking to kind of sharpen my American history or like pop history, you know, just culture in itself. Because I feel like that's some of the stuff that you should know if you're going to live in the States for a long time.
Those are the roots. Television shows like that. I mean, that's where it began, and that's where, and you mentioned this before in passing, that's where a lot of comedies have, you know, they've used that same material, and it's recycled today.
It's
recycled today. I mean, you'll see little things that happen on that, specifically that television show, and you'll see it, you know, reimagined in another television show. But that's
where...
there
are so many that are just straight up... like the same thing though. Like scene is such a
ripoff. Just, basically.
Yeah. It's so much of it.
It runs rapid. It runs rapid. I mean, it's where, and I've talked about this on a podcast, that where the executives and the hacks and everyone involved, they're out of ideas, or they're just not taking ideas, or they're just lazy, or they're just too damn dumb to even make the effort to create something new or to risk and try something new. So what they do is they say, it's like I Love Lucy, but a modern twist. And this is how they come up with films and stuff like that. I mean, we talked about Desi Arnaz being a pioneer of the multicam shoot. You know, this is a Cuban American that came here and thought, you know, why are we just using one camera to shoot, you know, a sitcom? So him and other people, but Desi kind of gets credit for pioneering the three camera shoot where you have one in the center, one on the left, one on the right. And, to his credit, that's exactly how they shoot everything today, from Seinfeld to...
And also the reruns.
Mm-hmm.
That was really interesting to me.
There
were no reruns.
There were no such thing.
And like I was telling you, the reason why they started rerunning was because she got pregnant and then she went into labor.
Yeah.
So they wanted to give her a break. So then they started re-airing because he was smart enough to actually record the episodes.
Yeah.
So he would just rerun them.
And I think it was one of the first time someone either had a birth on a television show back then. Acknowledged it or something to that nature. I can't remember.
It was a big deal because it was the first one to actually somewhat insinuate that there was sex happening.
Yeah.
Because if you notice in all of the other shows, the kids were already born. You know, they already had like grandchildren, if anything.
Well, they even slept in separate beds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They slept in separate. I mean, even if you go back to the Flintstones, I don't know if you ever watched the Flintstones. Fred Flintstone, the cartoon, and Wilma slept in separate beds. This was common, you know, practice in Hollywood and even in the culture, I think.
And also they never said that she was pregnant. They always said that we were expecting.
Yeah. I mean, he to their credit, I mean, I think she... I've always been a big fan of both Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball and, you know, the others that followed. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the Carol Burnett Show. Classic. If you ever, you should watch that. That's hilarious. Carol Burnett. But there's a ton of shows out there. I don't know if you ever got into Three's Company. Three's Company is one of my favorite shows. Yeah, you should watch that on Hulu. Great. Probably one of the funniest sitcoms of the 80s. And it's stuff starring John Ritter, the late great John Ritter. He's someone who I hold near and dear to my heart. Just growing up, I mean, we would gather around as a family and watch these shows. And then after it aired, we'd watch the reruns. And it's just something that, you know, I don't have many memories of. Like, how many families, at least I don't know many, but I know we didn't do a lot of things like as a unit, but we would watch certain shows like Three's Company together. And just it brings back great memories. Everything from Lucille Ball to I think Happy Days was one I used to watch a lot. The Fonz, of course. Yeah. Got to pop my collars. Thumbs up. That's right. But I was happy.
My childhood was so much different.
Yeah, I was happy to hear. I always get excited when I hear, people when they discover something like I Love Lucy. Our childhood was probably more similar than you think. Just growing up in an inner city, we didn't have a lot of luxuries that a lot of people had. I mean, probably going up into when there weren't a lot of luxuries anyway in the 70s and 80s. It wasn't until the 80s they started coming out with the video games and stuff like that. Games. There was nothing. There was nothing.
But that's the same thing, though. Like, we didn't have that either.
Yeah, we didn't have it. We had to play outside.
So we had to deal with what we had to deal with. And for Christmas, there is this company, or at least this person.
We had board games.
I don't know if it's like charity or whatever.
Get a
it
ball.
Is.
Yeah.
Crayons.
Chalk.
No, they give these hideous cars and these hideous dolls that are just like air. They're like this big. They're like miniature size. And that's what they give. But oh my God, we were so happy when we got them.
Yeah.
They were the ugliest cars and they had no use, but they were so much fun.
Yeah, I mean, we would get toys and stuff like that, action figures and whatever, balls, race car tracks, just simple stuff. But a lot of stuff was done outside. I mean, you spent a lot of time outside building forts and having rock fights, dirt bomb fights and stuff like that. I mean, you had to do it. I mean, it was like there was nothing at that time on Earth that existed like it does now. There's nothing.
I guess.
No, there was nothing. There's no guess.
When I was telling Miriam a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
How in El Salvador we have like different toys for different seasons.
Wow.
Like you won't see anyone playing marbles at like a different time of the year.
You won't see anyone playing marbles at all these days.
No, but in El Salvador you still do because it's so much fun.
No, I know it is.
But like you have the circle.
You gotta tell me.
Especially when you get to like take out all their like really nice ones.
We would trade marbles. Yeah. And it's funny you said that because Charlie Murphy on his podcast was just talking about marbles, how they were playing. He had a story. I can't remember it all, but he had a story. And very few people would get this reference. And I was dying in the car laughing because he said they were out playing and they decided to, I think they broke into some abandoned building or something like that. And one of his friends tripped and fell and hurt himself. And Charlie Murphy's first instinct was steal his marbles, steal his marbles. And no one would really get that joke unless you played marbles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there was a value on the marble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
But it's so funny, though. In El Salvador, once like the season is over, all the marbles disappear.
Yeah.
The kids lose all the marbles.
Yeah.
They end up on the beach or somewhere. Like, I don't even know. And then next year,
Frisbee.
The hype comes again. And guess what you have to do? Because you lost all your marbles.
Got to get them.
You have to buy more.
Yeah, or jack someone.
But then we have the yo-yo season.
Oh, yeah, we had yo-yos, yeah. We didn't do seasons. It was just, we'd have a bag of goodies.
And then we have these little, upside-down triangle things that we have. That have a little like nut on the
yeah. It's a top. It's a spinning thing.
Yeah. No, that's something else.
Oh, okay.
No.
What is this? What is this magic?
This is like a thing that I'll like try to imitate.
Yeah.
But you grab it and it's like fat on the top and then it goes down. Do you have a rope that you?
Oh, I know that one.
Across and then you
yeah.
go. Like,
yeah. And it would
and
spin.
Then it spins.
Yeah, I know.
Because
it
has
yep.
like a piece of
we had those. Yeah.
Those, oh my God, those were so much fun.
The paddle balls with the ball.
People in El Salvador get so competitive, though. They make well, that's the game, but they make a circle.
Yeah.
And then the people that, it's like marbles.
Yeah, no.
You get to, like, if you can, you get to hit the other, we can call it trompo.
Yeah.
So you hit it, and then if you take it out of the circle, then you get to keep it.
There you go. Yeah, we graduated to like craps. We roll dice, you know, for money.
It was fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so many different seasons and so many different games.
That's an amazing journey. And that was what, 1998?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yep.
97, 98, wow. You know.
Yeah, no, it's a similar. Mine was 78, but yeah, it was we had no choice. But yeah, it's a
But I mean, it's and that's the thing that I...
It's refreshing.
The thing that I like about, you know, like having my childhood be over there during the 90s
mm-hmm.
is that I could just be with my cousins and my friends and play different games at different seasons out and about and, you know...
Well, that's the importance and that's something that's lacking because you could drive around here, maybe not in this area, but there's certain neighborhoods and pockets in the Northern Virginia area where you can go and you don't see any kids. You don't see any bicycles. You don't see anybody kicking the ball or, you know... I've even gone out. I've told my son, I'm like, oh, you know, throw a rock at something, man. You know what I mean? Go gather some sticks up and make a fort, you know? I talked about this on a podcast where I taught him how to, you know, make a ramp and jump it. And, we'd walk by a creek and I was like, man, when I was little and I saw a creek, I'd be in that creek exploring everything. I'd be down there for hours climbing mountains and terrain and stuff like that. But it's important. I think it builds character and you kind of find yourself when you're out there, you know, with your friends and family and not stuck in front of a computer or a simulated game or something like that.
Yep. Very important to keep that.
But I feel like, you know, parents here are very, very lazy. And I think that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem, you know.
Well, they're letting neighborhoods are different, you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
But they're letting their kids, you know, grow up through television.
Yeah.
And then technology. You know, and then that's when the guild comes in and everything else.
Through technology.
I just feel like there's a lot of things that parents can do.
Yeah, you gotta be more interactive. You gotta, you know, be out there and mixing it up and volunteering for bingo and embarrassing your child and, you know, the basketball, the football.
And it doesn't have to be something that you have to pay for or anything like that.
No.
It can be something simple things. Simple as, you know, volunteering.
And those are the best things. And those are the ones that you remember. Like, you won't remember Call of Duty or, you know, this game or that game. You'll remember, you know, like with you in the marbles and the seasons and, you know, the memories that you have with your friends and family. Those are the things that you take with you and those are the things that you'll pass on, you know, whether in story like you are with us or, you know, to your children. So it's something that, you know, we have to keep doing.
Yep.
So it looks like we learned a lot today. We learned a lot about Darwin Umanzor. Say it.
Umanzor. Darwin.
Why are you adding another O to the end?
I don't know. I add O's to everything. I can't speak. Plus, you're on mic. You know what I mean? So how do you like it? How do you like being on the podcast? Did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Well, all right. Miriam sat back and listened and laughed the whole time. And I think she enjoyed our a lot of things we have in common. So, yes, with that, I think we're going to close out. And until next time, people, don't forget, share this program with a friend. For Darwin, Miriam, and myself, this is American Riddle. Domino, motherfucker.